Good evening.
Good evening.
I have to tell you, my name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I'm a senior pastor here. It is my pleasure to be with you tonight and to lead this worship service. And I have to say that it is my favorite of the year, beginning Lent, this evening to pause. And so I am worshiping with you tonight. I invite you to join me now in the greeting that you're going to find printed in your bulletin. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
Let us join in the opening prayer. O God, maker of everything and judge of all that you have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're going to continue with the Old Testament reading, and we're going to do this responsively. It is printed in your bulletin. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains in a large, mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Thank you, Loretta. We're reading from 2 Corinthians tonight, and we've actually been doing a little bit of that. You might remember we had all this 1 Corinthians during the month of January. It's a similar letter, although it's a little even bit more harsh than 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and addressing issues that are there. And what we find in this section is a plea, and you'll hear it. It's his plea to the people that if you believe in Jesus Christ, then be reconciled to God, be made right with God, and do it now. This is the time to do it. And what's more, if we don't do it, all that Jesus Christ did will be in vain. And then Paul talks about how difficult his life has been in this place of reconciliation, and yet what the rewards are as well. And so there's some great, rich texts in here, and if you're going to be looking for something to meditate on, for scripture to read and to think on during Lent, I'd invite you to even just take this passage and walk through it line by line again and again. So I'm going to begin in chapter 5 at verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry may not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad repute and good repute, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. This is the word of God for the people of God. I haven't talked too much about an experience that I've had over the last year, and I shared it really kind of publicly for the first time at the 12 o'clock Ash Wednesday service today, and so I share it with you as well. Over this last year, George and I have done the work of combining two households. Now, you might say, well, yeah, obviously, you don't have to talk about that. We know you had to do that. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the work of combining two households. About this time last year, the wedding date was set. I mean, I knew that, and we had decided by that time that we would be moving into the Brighton Parsonage and not the Howell Parsonage. So we knew where we were going to live. And so I got serious, and I started walking through every room. And I'd look at the items on shelves and around, and I'd say, do I do anything with that other than dust it? Do I have that thing because it was given to me and there's a story? Do I have it because of its beauty? Do I have it simply because of inertia? That, you know, it's there. I opened boxes I had not opened since my last move. I went through rooms and looked at furniture that was of use and that had just simply been collected. I went through my closets because I knew now that I would actually have to share. And I just started just gathering the stuff. And through the months, I took loads to Salvation Army. I piled a huge pile in the garage that came here to the United Methodist Women Rummage Sale. I gave a set of dishes away. I gave kitchen implements away. I looked for people who might be in need of particular furniture and gave it away. And so, as the wedding time neared, there were two empty rooms upstairs and empty shelves. Okay, empty shelves in the basement, thanks to the trustees who came and built more, but empty shelves and empty shelves in the garage. So now George, and I tell this story with his permission, George, well, he started getting ready to move in after we were married. And so before marriage, he brought over some clothes, kind of in preparation. He would be living there. And so when we came back from the honeymoon in mid-August, we said, okay, it's time. We've got to combine these households. And his trustees helped a little bit because they said, you have until October 31st because we're selling this house. And so you have till October 31st, and then we're coming in with the painters and all of that to get the house ready. And so we had this window of time. And it was hard work, because where I was a keeper of a single person's stuff, he has been a keeper of a family stuff. And I want you to think about what kinds of things you've accumulated as a family. And what was more challenging is that his children were all away and had left stuff, and he didn't know what they wanted and what they did want. And an even greater challenge is that it has been, at that time, it was about 9.5 years since his wife had passed away. And George had much of her clothing and her crafts and her writings. And, well, it was everything. And I have to say, it was hard work. But I couldn't be a part of a lot of that work. These are decisions that George had to make. And as far as his children, what he ended up doing was putting boxes in different areas of the basement. And if he thought they might like it, he'd put it in the box. And if he didn't want to be responsible for getting rid of it, he'd put it in a box and say, they can make the decision about that. And we filled boxes and we packed and we worked. And we worked for 8 hours on October 31st. And we got it all upstairs into the garage. And on that Monday, Habitat for Humanity came, Salvation Army came, and men from the church helped and brought all the stuff over to the garage and piled it on one half of the garage, his half. And and I said, well, now we got to do something with this before the snow flies. And so we worked from there. But I have to tell you, it was hard. It was hard, and it involved deciding what to hold close to our hearts and deciding what to let go. It involved mourning. It involved remembering and celebrating and crying. It was hard work. And as we enter this time of Lent, I'm carrying that life experience, that life experience that's close to me right now, as an image into Lent. Because I believe that this season in many ways parallels the hard work of cleaning house and combining households. I'll explain. First of all, one thing that George and I had going for us in all of that is that we had time. We had some time to make it work, to sit and to sort. Oh yeah, there was a deadline looming, but we were given time. And one of the things I love about the season of Lent is that in the tradition of the church, there is a time set aside to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ in resurrection. The church says we've got 40 days plus the Sundays that fall within those 40 days to get ready, to prepare, to clean house, to combine households so that our hearts might be one with our Savior, Jesus Christ. When I look at the scripture from today, which is a traditional reading for this day around the world, what I hear is Paul's call to the people of Corinth to clean house. He says to them, be reconciled to God. Be made right. Be in a close and tight relationship with God. Now, you know, to be reconciled with someone, it's not the work of one person. It's the work of both parties. Well, God has done the work, and Jesus explains that when he says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has stepped up and said, I give you Jesus. I give you the very Son of God, so that you might understand the character of God, and you might understand the love of God, and through his death you might know the freedom of forgiveness. And Paul's call to the people was, all right, now it's your turn to step up. He says to them, do not do this in vain. Let Jesus' work be in vain, but step up. And we have the opportunity to do that part now. And in some ways, this evening of worship seems like an abrupt call to that. We come here, we talk about mortality, we're going to put ashes on us to remind us that we come from the dust and we'll return to the dust. Remind us of mortality, and perhaps remind us that there is a limit to this life we live here on earth. Paul says to people in urgency, now is the time of God's favor, so now is the day of salvation. And we have the opportunity, we've got the time stretching out before us to get ready. So using that image of cleaning house, if you were to walk your heart, walk your soul, walk your life, what would you see on the shelves? Do you keep the resentments and the regrets, you know, in special display cases? So the regrets, you know, just kind of bring down once in a while to feel that pain, to ask those questions of what if, to feel bad that you never said sorry when you had a chance to say sorry. Do you kind of keep the resentments there for when really trusted friends come over and you can pull them out and just complain? Do you have some brokenness tucked away in the closet in the back? The mistakes, the sins that just weigh you down. And you kind of put them in the closet and you put them there and you kick the door shut and you hope no one visiting is going to open that door. Do you have things so piled up in the room of your soul and your heart that it's hard to move around? It's hard to see out the windows. It's hard to see possibility or hard to see hope. And what might be able to be cleaned out to make room for God? What might we be able to put toward the curb in release? What might we be able to give away in forgiveness? What might be calmed in our hearts by pondering God's forgiveness of us? And on the tradition of the church, there are practices that in the Wesleyan tradition we call means of grace. It means ways that we can open ourselves to Christ's presence and we can know God's grace, God's love for us that is unconditional, that is without our merit involved, that we just get to be loved by God through Jesus Christ. And so in the tradition of the church, here are some of those practices I remind you, and I know it's going to be redundant because Loretta's going to remind you too, but it's a good thing to know. Prayer. Prayer is a way that we open ourselves to God's grace. Now, if you look at your prayer life and you say, I'm doing well, I'll wait for the next one on the list, you know, because that one doesn't bother me, I would challenge you to get uncomfortable in your prayer life. Stretch it. Just like we would stretch our muscles to do better physically. If your prayer life is a place where you say, I'm falling down. I don't have the time. I don't have the attention span. I'm too distracted. My life is too noisy around me. My soul's too cluttered. I suggest that you might try something you haven't tried in the way of prayer. So if your picture of prayer is sitting in a chair, the Bible in front of you, and there's no noise in the house, that may not be possible where you are. But prayer can come in all sorts of forms. Some people journal their prayers. They just write them down. Other people pray in the car. I mean, even in traffic where they don't have to. That prayer is what happens in the car. Some people have walking prayers. The prayer. I mean, Thich Nhat Hanh, who's a Buddhist, he used to say, when the phone rings, as I'm answering the phone, I'm praying for the person on the phone. It's kind of working prayer into life. There's a book that I've been really connected to recently called Praying by Color. Some of you have experienced it, but it's a book that introduces prayer, intercessional prayer, like praying for others, by doodling and writing, you know, so you're involving your body. think about a way of praying that you have. And if you're a person who stands when you pray, sit down. If you sit down, lie down on the floor. If you can kneel. If you can't, find a way that you'll be in a posture of prayer with your hands open, your hands lifted in some way. To, in a sense, say to God, my spirit's open, come. But I invite you to take this opportunity. The time is right now. This time is of salvation. To open ourselves to God through prayer. Another one is scripture reading. I'm doing a devotional which will take you through most of Luke in this season of Lent. That's online. You can sign up for that. You may have a book of the Bible that you want to read. I'm personally going through the book of John pretty carefully, and so that, you know, you may pick a gospel. You may pick the letters. You can go through the Corinthians letters if you're not afraid, or you can go to Philippians where you get a little comfort and a little encouragement. Or go to the Psalms, because the Psalms will help you pray. But get a plan, and if you don't have a plan, just go online and find one. You know, sign up for some daily prayer thing. You can get the Upper Room. You can read it. You can get it here, or you can sign up for it online and get it. But find a way to connect with Scripture in a powerful way, because it is. Why do it? Now, you don't do it to get information so you can wow your friends because you know all of King David's brothers. It's so that you can open yourself to the power of God's love, to grace. So I'll put in a few other ones that are traditional Wesleyan. One is what you're doing right now, gathering in Christian community for worship. But it also includes Christian conversation, Christian community in small groups, in studies, one-on-one with each other, supporting each other spiritually. Another one is partaking in the sacraments, to be present for Holy Communion. To be present for baptisms, and in the act of baptism, to remember our own baptism. We have two baptisms coming up here in February. We have that opportunity to remember your own. And another one, often Wesleyans, especially modern day, we leave this one to last, fasting. And I know that from the tradition of the church long ago, we bring this question, what are you giving up for Lent, right? And maybe you've done that in the past. I used to give up watching TV until I realized I didn't watch TV anyway, so that was pretty much a sham. But there are things that you might practice that this has been your practice, or you may have a day of fasting or a meal that you fast from, a particular meal. And the act of fasting is not to make life make your quality of life better. So I'm going to fast so I weigh less. I'm going to fast so that I can break that habit, which I should break anyway. So, you know, fasting from chocolate, you know, no, life's short. But what you can do in considering your practice of fasting is to say, what could I refrain from that would give space in my life for God to enter in? And so for some people, they find fasting from food a powerful place for that to happen, because I've heard people say, the hunger I feel is the hunger I am called to feel for Christ. And so to skip a lunch during a weekday when you're at work, you know that's going to be on your mind. And to let Christ and the love of God be on your mind in that time. The practice of fasting for a family or a couple can lead to conversation, powerful conversation, about why we do that. And if it's fasting from an activity or a particular show, or fasting from a distraction at a particular time, we give that time to spiritual reading, to contemplation, to prayer. And so we move closer to God. And I have to say, there are all kinds of amazing spiritual practices out there. The practice of hospitality can open us to the grace of God. Service in the name of Jesus Christ can open us. Acts of compassion and mercy can bring Christ to our doorstep. Barb Terry at our dinner table tonight was asking, where did you see God today? And Barb had a story about seeing God in a very simple exchange she had with a youth. And we have the opportunity in what we do to seek out the grace of God. Now, I would love to give you the easy steps on how to clean out your house and to get ready to be in relationship with Christ in a tight and rich way. But I think that for each of us, it's a different journey. But I will tell you this, that Lent is not meant to be easy. I want to tell you, I'm admitting this now, if you came to the parsonage, this is what you would see. First of all, if you went to the shed on the back of the property, you open the door, everything would fall out. We decided that at the end, George is just throwing things on top of there, that we're not opening it till spring. And we'll work on that later. You would find that we still have several places where we have duplicates of stuff. Do we need two blenders? Why do we have two blenders? There's still these things that's really hard to let go of. And you would find that in the parsonage that in most of the rooms there are no pictures. I took stuff down because, you know, so we could hang up stuff, but we haven't had any wedding pictures printed. All the framed pictures and everything are in the closets, and time flies by and nothing happens. And that work of combining, we just got so tired we stopped. It's not meant to be easy. But if we're willing to make the sacrifices of time, if we're willing to do the hard work of examination and kind of cleaning out some of the clutter so that we can let God in, powerful things can happen. Now, I know that Paul says it's not easy. He talks about great endurance and troubles and hardships and distress and beatings and imprisonments. Yeah, that's tough. But then he goes on to say this, that in the work of reconciling with God, amazing things can happen. Patience and kindness and truthful speech, and in the power of God with weapons of righteousness at the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown. The paradox of dying and yet we live. Beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor and making others rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. This Lent, I'm not asking you to do anything easy, but I would challenge you to not let the work of Jesus Christ be in vain. Christ desires to walk with us in unity. And in order for that to happen, we got to clean house. And that's what Lent allows us to do. Let's pray. Lord, you know where the clutter is. You know the things that we're holding on to and we're not going to let go of. You know the shelves. You know where we hide our sin and our brokenness. You know what we've got stored up on the shelves in anger and even hatred, and resentments and regrets, in sadness and in sorrow. Oh, you know it all, Lord. So help us to walk these rooms of our soul and do the work that will make us room to let you in. You've given us time. Lord, by your power, help us to use it. Amen.
And all God's people said, Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance and as a mark of our mortal nature. Let us now bow before our Creator and Redeemer and be marked with the sign of ashes.
These ashes are in the tradition of the church from palms from last Palm Sunday. And they're to remind us that even in the celebration of the triumphal entry of Christ into our lives, that there are times when we are separated. And these ashes have a little bit of oil, and it's a scented oil that's in them. And we're going to place a cross on your forehead, or if you would prefer it to be on your hand, just hold out your hand and we'll do that. You'll hear words something like this: repent and believe in the gospel. The word repent means to turn and go another way. To believe in the gospel means to believe that Jesus Christ is our risen Lord and Savior and walks with us. When we are done with the imposition of the ashes, we'll sing a hymn, and then we move into a time of confession where we open ourselves completely to let God know where we're broken, where we know it. We'll hear words of pardon, trusting that we are forgiven in our confession, and then we'll offer thanks. And so I invite you now to pray with me the thanksgiving over the ashes. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Let us join our hearts and voices in the prayer, confession, and pardon. O God, may the measure of your eternal love be the measure of your mercy, and may the measure of your mercy be sufficient to blot out my great sins and cancel out the guilt of my wrongdoing. I have failed, O Lord, and my failures weigh heavily upon my heart. I cannot share them all with my brothers and sisters, lest they weigh too heavily upon them. But you know what they are, O God, and how far I have fallen short of your standards and expectations. I know that nothing can be hidden from you. I can only acknowledge my indictment and accept your loving forgiveness. Purge me of my guilt, O Lord. Heal the hurts of those who have been afflicted by my failures. Revive my flagging spirit, O God. Restore to me the joy and assurance of a right relationship with you. Reinstate me in your purposes and help me to avoid the snares and pitfalls along the way. May the Almighty and Merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from wickedness and live, accept your repentance, forgive your sins, and restore you by the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Amen. And now, as a sign of that reconciliation, both with God and with the community, let us now offer a sign of peace to one another.
Open ourselves to God's Spirit. Offer confession, know the glory of pardon, and now symbolically practice reconciliation and peace in community. Let's now rest and offer God thanks for God's presence. Lord, Lord, in our busy lives, we throw out thank yous here and there. Thank God, thank goodness, by God's grace. But tonight we offer you the big thank you. That we will not fall, that we stand strong. That in the midst of the storm, we will know calm. That in places of fear, we will know hope. In places where our legs shake and we are weak, you will be our strength. And when we face death, we will do so knowing the promise of life. And we are so thankful that we live in your forgiving presence. We're thankful for your patience and your love. We're thankful for your teachings and your love. We're thankful for the people you have brought into our lives to lift us up and to challenge us, and for your love. We're thankful that in this mortal life, with its definite beginning and end, in your love there is no end. And we yearn, Lord, in our thankfulness to rise to you. Walk with us, please, on this Lenten journey. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In this next week, recognize that Lent is here. In whatever shape that might take for you, at some point say to yourself, Lent is here, and it makes a difference in my life. Go now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.